We're joined now by our guest of the evening, a great, great playwright. We're joined on the line by Wendy Graff. Wendy, how are you this fine, fine evening?
I'm great. I'm happy to talk to you.
Really excited to have you on the show. Now we're based here in Los Angeles, the home of the business of show.
The beating heart of live theater.
Absolutely. It's not like the beating heart. It's like the
yes,
kidney.
It's like the spleen.
It's like the spleen of of live theater.
Wait a minute.
Set us straight,
There's
Wendy.
There's a whole world out there that a lot of people don't know about. They know about, you know, Dear Evan Hansen at the Amundsen,
yes,
and that's it. But there's really quite a rich and full world out there of small theater in Los Angeles.
There is, and we've been, our listeners know, we're a huge, huge supporter of theater, and we've been able to dedicate a lot of time over the last several years interviewing actors and playwrights and people involved in that business. Big, big fans of that. But I've got to ask you, we don't usually have playwrights on, occasionally, but not often. There's a lot of things you can write. You can write novels, you can write checks, you can write a lot of different things. But writing plays is a very, very particular thing to write. What is it about writing a play that, like a 1,000-page doorstopper novel, kind of, that's not really the right way of delivering this story? What gets you excited about writing something in the form of a play?
Well, somebody said to me last night after the performance, they walked out and they said, you know, you give a voice to the voiceless.
Mm.
And I think that that's one of the reasons why I really like writing a play. I mean, I write through dialogue. I tell my story through dialogue. And, you know, if it were to be a movie or a screenplay, which I have worked on in the past, you tell your story through visual images.
Mm.
And if you're going to write a novel, you tell your story through a narrative, you know, as if one person's speaking and describing.
Right.
But playwriting is all about the dialogue and the, you know, revealing of the story and revealing of the characters by dialogue, what is said, what isn't said, what happens in between the lines. And I like to write in a way that I give the actors room to express the story and tell this story in between the lines as well.
Now, I've got to ask you this, because if I ever wrote a play, well, first of all, it would be an awesome play.
Uh-huh.
If I wrote a play, it'd be an amazing play. But if I did, I could see myself sitting in the back row of the theater, because every movie about playwrights I ever see, they're always sitting in the back row of the theater.
They're always in the back row.
They're always back. And then I'd see some clown on stage.
Always.
And they'd be murdering my line. They wouldn't.
That is the fate of all writers. You have to write. You write the dialogue. You write, you know, the basic instructions. But the actors take over the play.
It's very important that you get actors that you like and who you feel can fill your characters, fill your lines. I mean, I won't say that that's not the biggest nightmare to be sitting in the back of stage and going, she's ruining my
play. But I didn't write this part for Foghorn Leghorn. Why does he keep doing it? Like, I mean, a play is almost too important to entrust to just mere actors. You can't let that dialogue.
There is presumably a director who you're in
I was just going to say that oftentimes it's the director who ruins it, not me.
Oh, good, good, good.
I always had a question for plays, and how do you, as a playwright, avoid a pitfall of writing in one voice for all of your characters? I mean, I know that each character has specific attributes and background and past and things like that, and I think for me it would be hard for me not to write as one voice, like one character into the next character into the next character, and having no separation between them. How do you avoid that as a playwright?
Well, you act them out in your head. I mean, I become all the characters. I mean, I possibly, once upon a time, a very long time ago, I was an actress. So I was familiar with dialogue and how to portray things through dialogue. And I've read accounts from other playwrights who were actors as well, and they find that, you know, writing dialogue comes a lot more easily to them. I don't know. I mean, I think it's just the more specific you are, the more it comes through, and you kind of like act out in your head. And I sit, you know, I sit in front of the computer and I use different voices and I read it out loud.
Well, I can tell you, Phil. I mean, speaking as I've done some writing, I've done some acting, and all drama is conflict. Your characters are battling each other on some level at all times, so they naturally have to be different. They're different voices.
No, but I want to press Phil on one thing you said. So in your head, Phil, in your head, are you implying that there's just like one voice?
No. Yes.
No.
That's not like my head.
Really,
no schizophrenia
between,
here.
No, there's a really big difference between what you write and what you hear. And I say to everyone, it's very important. Once you write it, you know, once you come to a place in your little room by yourself in your pajamas, you know, with your coffee and your cigarettes sometimes. And, you know, once you get to that point where you say, okay, I have a draft, I think it kind of works. Then you call up a bunch of your friends who are actors and you say, come over and I'll give you lunch and you read it out loud to me.
Actors will show up for lunch.
Really, easily.
They'll do anything.
Whatever. You know, it's a hearing medium. You have to hear it.
Now I want our listeners to know about your great, great play, Exit Wounds. It tells an incredibly, incredibly powerful story about three generations attempting to come to terms with this painful, painful past that they share. Can you tell us what motivated you to write that particular play? What was the acorn from which the mighty oak grew?
Well, it started out that I became very interested in what happened to the loved ones and the families of evil people or people who have committed evil acts. So I, of course, started with Nazis.
As you do. That's just reflex.
That's a go-to.
Start with Nazis.
Go-to evil. And I started watching all these documentaries like Hitler's Children and, you know, one other one about the guy who was the horrible concentration camp head at in Schindler's List, about his daughter and her journey, and you know, I found that a lot of these people responded in different ways. You know, some of them embraced their evil parent and, you know, defended it. Some of them broke with their family because they couldn't, you know, they couldn't bear it anymore, changed their name, et cetera, et cetera. So, okay, so there I am with, like, children of Nazis, and I'm like, well, you know, this has really been done a lot. I'm not going over any new territory. So then I kind of put it in the back of my head, and I walk around and, you know, kind of live with it for a while. And then there was another mass shooting. And
well, that could be that could be any day.
Well, just this week was the trial of
it's so timely. I'm like, well, hello, there's one every day in America. But so I started to think about, you know, they interview the survivors. You know, they interview the survivors. They interview the parents of the you know, children who have been killed. They interview, you know, everybody having to do with the victims. But we never see anything about... I said, what happens to the family of the shooter? You know...
Well, the mother of the guy who drove his car into the crowd at Charlottesville was, you know, in the news being interviewed this week. I mean, his trial was this week.
What did the mom say?
Oh, I nothing memorable. But there were all kinds of, you know, accusations about her.
Yeah, you're a terrible mother.
Yeah, right. Well, of course.
You're the woman who raised a monster.
Well, there was that great novel about 10 years ago, We've Got to Talk About Kevin, that told the story of the mom of the school shooter or the person who conducts that. Now, can you give us a few details for our listeners out there who would like to buy tickets and see this phenomenal, phenomenal production? What can you tell them about the who, what, why, where,
okay,
how?
It is, it's currently running right now at the Grove Theater Center in Burbank. And there's actually, after tonight, there's only three more performances. There's this Thursday night at 8, there's Friday night at 8, and there's Saturday at 2. And they can go to www.hartnpi.org/tickets. And you can find tickets at hartnpi.org/tickets.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I want to thank you so much, Wendy Graf, playwright, great person. Thank you so much for spending your Sunday night with us.
There's no one else I'd rather
see. Friends and neighbors, our phone lines are open, 866-870-5752. We got